It's not that you're deaf. It's we need to record it for the podcast. It's like feel a bit like the Queen or you know the Pope. You know the Christmas message going out. Anyway, our Knowing Jesus series concludes next week with an overview of the various titles ascribed to Jesus that I hope the people here in Shiloh have enjoyed looking at and listening to. But since the start of December, we've particularly concentrated on titles that speak of his incarnation, and that's a big flashy word for Jesus being born. And the first one was, in the first week of December, it was Son of Man, a title that Jesus used more than Son of God. He used that himself, of himself. And it speaks of Jesus being fully God and fully man. In other words, God becoming like us, and yet without sin. The second title in December was Emmanuel, and it means Jesus is God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. God had come to dwell among his people. And I was asking people at that time, and the older people probably would have got this, but you know, there was a film called Brubaker, and or Brubaker, depends how you say it, but Brubaker was a Robert Redford movie some years ago. And what basically had happened was Brubaker went into this notorious prison. It was rife with violence and corruption and utter wickedness. It was a notorious, notorious prison. And he went into the prison as a prisoner. And during one of the most violent standoffs in the prison, Brubaker announced who he actually was. He made his identity known, that he was the newly appointed prison governor. And as a result, having witnessed for himself all of the corruption and the evil and the terrible things that were happening, he brought about change in the prison system. And I said that God was like Brubaker. God became like us and came into this world of corruption and sin and death and made himself known in the form of Jesus Christ. And we crucified him and nailed him, in that sense, to the tree. The third week was the title, Jesus, Light of the World, speaking about Jesus bringing the light of the glory of God into this dark world of sin. And Satan thought at the crucifixion that he had snuffed the light out, and how wrong he was. We've also emphasized the message of Jesus coming into the world is not just a Christmas story. It's good news to mankind, and it's to be celebrated all year round. And so this morning, I want to briefly speak on the title, Jesus, Savior of the World. Now, to try to sort of get that point across, you know, this title is only used twice in the Bible. The first time it's used when some Samaritan people came to meet Jesus after a woman who had met Jesus went and told them all about him. They came, they met Jesus for themselves, and they said to her, "We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And the second time the title is used is in John the Apostle's first letter, or 1 John, as we know it. And that's where I want to read this morning. In 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. To try to get the point of my message this morning, because there have been builders in my house for about the past 6 or 7 weeks, I had to sort of rummage through all of my wardrobes and every room, search, and could I find my Superman outfit? I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't find it. And then I thought, well, maybe Spider-Man outfit, that would do. And then I thought, well, I'm not so sure that people would get the point. And then I thought, well, because I was watching Only Fools and Horses, maybe my Batman outfit. If I wore my Batman outfit, people would understand what it is that I'm trying to say. But I don't know if you've noticed these days just how many superheroes there are these days that can save the world. Isn't it absolutely amazing how many there are? I maybe thought to myself, maybe I should have wore a Donald Trump mask. Or possibly that would just be fake news. You know, but superheroes or saviors of the world, they seem to be commonplace these days. Two of my boys at the house kill zombies all day long. They save the world from a zombie overthrow. And they're up in their rooms shooting. I can hear them to go on 2 o'clock in the morning still shooting zombies. These zombies never seem to disappear. And they consider themselves, as they're doing this single shot thing, that they're saviors of the world. And then you get them to come down for their dinner and they're talking about, oh, did you get that one that was coming this way? And it's like, they nearly take this seriously. And I'm thinking, God, I can sleep safe at night knowing there's no zombies getting into my house. But like, superheroes and saviors of the world are commonplace. Filmmakers depict so many heroes and saviors of the world, but in reality, there is only one true savior of the world, and that is Jesus. Shiloh conducted 2 carol services this week in Oakmont Nursing Home and in Abbey Nursing Home. And for those who attended, you know, you mustn't have been listening, because God has brought you back here, the ones to sing the same carols and to hear the same message this morning. But we had the wonderful opportunity to go into the 2 homes and bring the message of Christmas, which is a message of comfort and support to everyone. But we were able to bring it to staff and residents alike. And I want to share with you this morning what I shared at those services. I'm delighted this morning to have my sister Roberta's here, and my niece is over from Australia. I got a surprise to see them here this morning, I have to say, and there's so many other visitors this morning here. You're all very, very welcome. But Roberta can testify that, you know, we come from what would have been viewed as quite a big family. We had 4 brothers and 4 sisters, although we have a 5th brother, but he pretends he's not one of our brothers. But so we have 4 brothers and we have 4 sisters. And when we were young, we used to get really excited about Christmas. You know, you used to get real buzz in the house about Christmas was coming. I mean, my next door neighbour at the moment has there has been elf shelf, bad elves on the shelf or something in this house. She's got a big poster. And I said, she must be scaring her kids, you know, to try and get them to behave. And that's what Christmas was like in our house from about October probably, or certainly November. Christmas in our house was used as the tool to temper our behaviours. And so it was not unheard of to hear, Santa won't be coming to this house if you're bad. Santa's going to leave you a bag of ashes if you don't behave. I mean, I don't know why Santa ever came to our house. Because anybody knows the Gordons of Listening Rain, you know. Everybody used to say about, oh, don't run about with him. Don't run about with him. And I remember one family, and their son decided, Bert said, no, I was the good one. But this woman, she was panicked when she seen me running about with her son. And she could understand why when she came down on a Saturday night to Bangor Police Station to have to get him out. And the following week, I was really embarrassed, but the following week, her other son started to run about with us, and she had to come to police station again to get him out, you know. So, you know, it was unusual that Santa turned up at our house. But on Christmas Eve, my mum and dad, this was when we were very young, my mum and dad used to threaten to nail our bedroom doors closed if we didn't stop coming out of the room and asking, has Santa been yet? Has Santa been yet? I don't know if you're going to experience that yourselves. Has Santa been yet? Is he here yet? Is he here yet? Is he here yet? And now you can go on the internet and see exactly where he is. You can see, you know, he's just flying over Belfast and whatever else. It's amazing. Anyway, from about 3 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, we would waken each other up. And Bert was very young, so she might not have got wakened, but I'm sure you remember sometimes. We would waken each other up, and we'd go and sit at the top of the stairs and sing, "Why Are We Waiting?" And eventually, when permission was given by a very tired-looking mum and dad, we had burst through the living room doors to open up our presents. It was bedlam. It was absolute chaos, total mayhem. But it was great fun. It was great fun. I wonder, do you remember Christmas like that when you were a child? Or maybe you remember Christmas a bit like that with your children or your grandchildren. The excitement, the bedlam, the fun, the gifts, and of course, the good food. And for others, however, maybe Christmas doesn't hold such fond memories. But if Christmas has any real meaning, it shouldn't be all about Santa or superheroes and Marvel fantasy saviors of the world. It should be about God giving gifts. See, it's about God's gift of good news, of comfort and hope for all people. Christmas reminds us of God's good gift to mankind, his son, Jesus. Isaiah the prophet said in chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The Apostle John summed all of this up more succinctly in John chapter 3, verse 16, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And of course, he later said, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son, the Savior of the world." You see, Jesus, the Son of God, is God's good gift to the world. And as God has declared, and Billy was praying last week about when we were up at the Shankill, I was doing my testimony up there a few weeks ago, and there were some people in that room who have committed some of the most heinous crimes that have been carried out in this country, and yet God declares, whoever believes in Jesus shall have everlasting life. And you could see the joy in the faces of those men who knew what it is to have everlasting life, to have their sins forgiven. You see, that night when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, comfort and hope came into this world. Jesus, the Son of God, had come to save his people from their sins. Shepherds had been out watching their flock by night, and they believed the report that they had heard from the angels and came to Bethlehem to see for themselves. Wise men bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh traveled many miles to look upon the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, was born. But as I often say, this little baby, just like your children, just like you were once a little baby too, this little baby born in Bethlehem grew up, as most children do. He went about doing good, He spoke to people about the kingdom of heaven. He healed the sick. He even raised the dead. And yet his life ended in death by crucifixion. But even this, even the horror of his death by crucifixion, is good news. It's God's good news to the world, because that was the reason why Jesus came to this world. He came to die in our place and pay the debt for our sin, so that you and I could be reconciled to God. Everything about Jesus, absolutely everything about the Savior of the world, is good news. His birth in Bethlehem, his life on earth, his message of comfort and hope, his death and resurrection, and his eventual return to gather his people unto himself. It's all good news. As we enjoy these songs and carols today, I hope they remind us of the real excitement of Christmas, the real message and meaning of Christmas, God's good gift to those who believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And whosoever, that includes you, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that we would be excited about Jesus as we were about Santa. The songs and carols this morning speak of the purpose of Jesus coming into the world. They tell us the real meaning of Christmas. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us second birth. God in flesh appearing to save his people from their sins. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven, and our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world, came into this world to make God known to us and to save us from our sins. Christian, may your Christmas bring many of God's blessings to you and to yours. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're listening to the live stream or the podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, Christmas, I suppose, is God's reminder that he loves you very much. But unless you accept, unless you believe and act upon the message of the good news about Jesus, the Savior of the world, Christmas holds no real lasting hope or value for you. But God's word is clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for this opportunity to meet together like this, to sing carols, Lord God, that speak of Christ Jesus coming into the world. Thank you that you love us so much that you were prepared to sacrifice your only begotten Son to pay the price for our sin so that we might be reconciled to you. And you have declared now, Lord God, and you declare it not just at Christmas but all year round, whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. What wonderful good news to celebrate. And we celebrate your love this morning and thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Amen. We'll stand